Welcome to Heralding the Truth, radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sidney, Ohio. Here at Russell Road, our vision is to build a people who are establishing God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is today's message.
Good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. It is great being house of the Lord. And I see a lot of new people here. So that's great. Praise the Lord. I mean, it's almost like I need to introduce who I am. But this will be the first time I've had to do that. I'm Mike Haynes. I'm a friend of your pastor. So Lord, I'm going to open up in a word of prayer and prepare our hearts for the receiving of the word of God. Father, we just want to thank you, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, for the opportunity just to be in this house, the experience, the spirit here, Lord God, and the excitement of the word of the Lord. Father, we just thank you, Lord God, as we come into this place. We are aware that we are part of a global assembly of believers all around the world. And in this little place right here, Lord God, right here in Sidney, Ohio, we add to our praise and worship, to the praise and worship that has gone throughout the whole world. And we thank you, Lord God, for what you are doing in this place, Father. And Father, we want to take this opportunity to lift up, Lord God, we want to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, Lord God. Yes. We want to pray, Lord God, right now for what is happening in Israel, what's happening in Gaza, what's happening, Lord God. Father, we know that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. We know this is all his working. Yes. Steal, kill, or destroy, but your word says you come that we may have life and we have it more abundantly. So we believe, Lord God, that in spite of all of this, you're working something out of this. Romans 8:28 comes into play. All things work together for the good, that those who love God, those who are called according to his purpose. And we believe, Lord God, even in this, even in allowing this to go forth, your word is going to go forth. People are going to be saved, Lord. Something is going to happen to fulfill your plan, your purpose, your will in these last days. So we give you thanks and praise. We rejoice in all things, Lord God, knowing that you know all things. Nothing catch you by surprise. We may be surprised, but nothing catch you by surprise. And we're thankful, Lord God, right now that you are not surprised by anything that occurs in this world. And you're not surprised by anything that occurs in our life. You're not surprised by anything that occurs in our circumstances, in our situations. Nothing catches you by surprise, and we can rest in you. And so we thank you, Lord, right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to open up in the word in the Gospel of John, chapter 4, verse 23, 24. We're going to speak today about fruit of the Spirit, walking in spiritual freedom. It's the title of what we're going to talk about today. In John, chapter 4, verse 23, 24, Jesus speaking to the Samaritan woman at the well says, but the hour cometh and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. I want you to notice now in this scripture, notice the time frame for worship. Notice the time frame for worship. The worship is now. The time frame for worship is now. This is the hour for spiritual worship. The time frame, you say, now is the time. It's now. This is the time for spiritual engagement with God. We are to worship God. We're called to worship God in, number one, spirit, which means that we are to worship God in the Holy Spirit. That's what that means. Worship God in spirit. Now is the time to worship God in the Spirit, in the Holy Spirit. And number two, we're to worship in truth. And what is truth? The truth, well, is the Word of God. It is by and according to the Word of God. So we're worshiping God. Jesus said that God was looking for worshipers. He was looking for worshipers to worship him in spirit and in truth. Now is the time, he says. He's focusing on right now. Right now is our time to worship God. And how do we worship God? Well, you know, we did that here. We lifted up hands. We played music. We worshiped him. But real worship is not what is always done. It's not done in the church. Real worship is living for him. is living every day. You know, real worship is when we go out and we live for him. That is worship. Worship is living. Worship is living. It is not just lifting hands. It's not just singing songs. It is actually living for him. So it says here in this word, he said, God is seeking people to worship him. So he's seeking people to live for him. The Father is seeking those. He's seeking these kind of worshipers, which means that he has to find them. And so I asked, I said, well, God, what are you talking about? You got to find. Look at the, you've got people. You've got work. I mean, you've got people have been saved. What do you mean you've got to find worshipers? He says, you know, God is seeking these type of people. What do you mean, Lord? Are we not worshiping you? Are we not living for you? Are we not doing what you've called us to do? Are we not, you have to seek for worshipers? Are you got to seek for people to live for you, to worship you, to show you, to experience you, to manifest you? You got to seek that. You're seeking for that, which means that God is looking for a special kind of person. God is spirit, and that is his nature. That is his nature. And he's looking for people that have the same kind of nature that he does. He's looking for people to have his nature, the flow in his nature. So when he says he's seeking worshipers, he's seeking people to live for him that has his nature in them. Those are people he's seeking to be his worshipers. Now, the people who live in his nature, a person living really in the Holy Spirit, living by the Holy Spirit, worshipers by and in the Holy Spirit. So that person is living in the Spirit and walking in truth. And also, he says, he's looking for people who will commit themselves fully to his presence in their lives. Everything that is done in the Spirit has to be done by the fruit of the Spirit operating in the life of the believer. You can do nothing for God apart from the fruit of the Spirit. If you're not living by the fruit of the Spirit, you can't accomplish anything for God. There's nothing can God be accomplished. The fruit of the Spirit is the determinant. No real spiritual activity is accomplished apart from the fruit of the Spirit. Spiritual freedom is exercised only through the fruit of the Spirit in full operation in the believer, according to Galatians 5, 22, 23. And it begins with, number one, operating in love, to the last one mentioned there, which is operating under self-control. So today we want to spend a little time talking about the fruit of the Spirit in the context of spiritual freedom of the believer. What is freedom? How would you define freedom? Is it to do what you want, when you want, without restrictions? Is it to do only good things and avoid bad things? Is it obedience to government laws and norms? Or is it the ability to act or not act on your own authority? And when you look at these things, in some respects, every one of those can be a sign of freedom. You know, every one of those can be a sign of some aspect of freedom. But is that spiritual freedom? Is that the freedom that God gives unto us? There was an individual by the name of Viktor Frankl. Have anybody ever heard of Viktor Frankl? Viktor Frankl. Viktor Frankl is a renowned Australian psychiatrist who was a Holocaust survivor. He was a Jew during the time of the Nazi invasion of Austria. And he was taken to a concentration camp with fellow Jews. And in that, you know, he did things were done to him that he says should not have been done to any human being. He was abused in every way possible that a human being can be abused. And he also saw other Jews being abused as well. But he noticed something as a psychiatrist, and he's experiencing what is happening to him and what is happening to his fellow Jews, he noticed something. He noticed that some people survived and some people died. Some people survived the torture, but some people died during the torture. And he began to determine, what is it that allow a person to survive this and other people to die? And some of the people he thought would survive are the ones that died, and some of the ones that, you know, he thought would not have survived are the ones that end up be surviving. And he wanted to know, what was the key? What was the thing? What was motivating him to survive? And so Based upon his observation, he developed a form of psychotherapy, helping people facing challenging times of trauma in their life and how to recover based on his experiences in the concentration camp. And so here's some of the things he discovered. He said he had suffered and he watched others suffer, and he noticed how people were able to survive during their torture. And this is what he said. He said, based on his experience and observation, he developed a philosophy of human freedom that states that anything can be taken from a man but one thing: the human freedom to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances. To choose one's own way, he said. He also said, the one thing that cannot be taken away from a person is the way that person chooses to respond to what is done to them. Choosing how you respond, no matter what it is, no matter what the circumstance is. Freedom was the ability to choose how you respond. Even though all other freedoms are taken away, you still had that. He said, the last of one's freedoms is to choose one's attitude in any given circumstances. He said, life is never unbearable by circumstances, but only by lack of means and purposes that an individual can see in his life. Every human being can choose how they will respond to anything that is done to them. And at the moment of decision, when you got to make that decision, at the moment of decision, there is freedom. There is freedom. Therefore, you can be free no matter what the circumstances of your bondage. Freedom is the ability to choose how you respond to any circumstance. I thought it was fascinating, his observation. Said, those who are able to choose not to let what was done to them bind them or hold them or cause them to give up, they survived. Those who saw that there was a bigger purpose for their life apart from what they were experiencing at the moment was able to survive. Those who said, no matter what these people do to me, I will make it, was able to survive. And he saw it. And in his book, which you can find it, I advise you to get it, Man's Search for Meaning was the book that he wrote as a result of that. What is fascinating about this? Well, the ability to choose is a powerful, absolutely powerful, powerful benefit that God has given to his people. The soul, which is the place of expression and the gateway to, it is the gateway to human freedom. Human freedom is two-dimensional. Freedom first expression must be in our thinking, in our mind. How we think determines how free we're going to be. The second dimension of freedom is effective implementation. You know, being able to freedom to effectively implement, put to life, make living what you're able to think. Our freedom to choose is essential to our relationship with God, and God always expresses and sets the conditions of how freedom is expressed. You have the ability to think the way God wants you to think, and you have the ability to do what God wants you to do. You know, if you think about salvation, just think about salvation, the process of salvation. It reflects this as well. Salvation begins in the spirit, flows through the soul, and manifests itself in the body. What does that mean? Salvation begins in the spirit. The spirit is saved. Your mind is changed, manifests itself through the soul. It comes through the soul and then manifests itself in the body. You begin to live out what you know in your mind is correct, what has happened in your spirit. And so the process then is choosing through the mind, letting the mind, you know, that can be renewed by the word of God, accepting and transforming and then walking out in the physical life that which you know and have in your mind. Our freedom to choose is essential to our relationship with God. We are given the freedom to choose what is right and what is wrong. Given a set of circumstances, we have that choice. And then what is the true freedom of a believer then? What is the true freedom of a believer? Well, the principle of freedom is to choose the best decision to increase your freedom to live and serve God. Right. Whatever it is that would enable you to live better and to serve God is freedom. You have that freedom. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19, 20 says this. He says, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I've set before you life and death, blessings and the curse. So choose life in order that you may live, choose life that you may live, and that you and your descendants may live, and by loving the Lord your God, by obeying his voice, and by holding fast to him, for this is your life and the length of your days, and you may live in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. Freedom, then, is being able to live out your God-intended purpose on the earth. Freedom is having your physical drives under the control of the Holy Spirit. Moral freedom is transforming your physical drives into spiritual power so that you can benefit others. Freedom is not the right to do what you want. It is the power to do what you ought. To do that which is right and not that which is wrong. With freedom, then, comes responsibility and accountability. You're responsible for how you exercise your freedom. And if you make the right choices, you'll be blessed. If you make the wrong choices, you will face consequences for your choices. You are accountable to God for your freedom based on the choices that you make. True freedom, then, is only possible in Jesus Christ. Amen. No sinner is free. The sinner is not free. He's in bondage. And it is our job. It's our job to lead them to freedom through salvation. That's what we've been called to do. That's our job. The first really free man was Jesus Christ. Freedom is based upon power and authority. You have the power and you have the authority to be free from sin and to live a life of blessing. You can live in the world, but you don't have to be of the world. Right. You can say yes to righteousness and you can say no to sin. You are not controlled by the flesh. You can resist the devil and he will flee from you. God has given you power. He's given you physical ability to act. Authority is the right to act, to live in complete righteousness with God. You have that. And you are free, really, to be a son of God. God has provided that for you. John chapter 1, verse 12 says, as many as received him, he gave them power to become sons of God to those who believed on his name. John 8, verse 36 says, therefore, if the Son sets you free, you are and free indeed. You're free indeed. If you're set free by the Son, by Jesus, you're free indeed. There is no, you're not in bondage to anything. Right. Romans 6:7 says this, for he who has died has been freed from sin. Well, maybe the issue is have you died? He who's died is free from sin. Yeah. He who has died, a dead man is free. I mean, even in the natural, a dead man is free. Freedom comes in death to self, but being alive unto Christ. Galatians 2:20, Paul says it this way. He says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives within me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I'm crucified, he says. I'm dead. I'm crucified. Romans 6, Paul refers to sin as a master or a controller. However, when you are born again, you gain a new nature. And God fills you with his Holy Spirit so that you are no longer under the control of the sinful nature. You gain intimacy with God. You gain his mind and his thoughts, the mind and thoughts of Christ. You gain the ability to be holy. All these are manifestations of the freedom that comes with salvation. You are no longer a slave to sin, but you're free to live in righteousness with God. Romans 8:2 says this, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Set free. 1 Corinthians 2:16 says this, for who has known the mind of the Lord that we may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. Can you imagine having the mind of Christ. You and I who are saved have the mind of Christ. It fascinates me when I think about that. Yeah. Having the mind of Christ is ultimate freedom. So we see here that there are three requirements every believer must possess in order to be free in God. What are they? Number one, you must be holy before him. 1 Peter 1:15 says, "But he who has called you is holy, so be ye in all manner of conversation, all manner of lifestyle." You must be holy. In order to be free in God, you have to be holy. Number two, you must live in complete faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, "Without faith it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, he exists, and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Number three, you must act in complete obedience. 1 Peter 1:14 says this, "As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance." Your spiritual freedom is bounded by these three requirements of salvation. When you get saved, you must be holy, you must walk in complete faith, and you must walk in obedience. Everything that God has told you to do, called you to do. The grace of God ensures your freedom in Christ and frees you from the corruption of the old nature and gives you the divine nature. Now just think about this, the divine nature. You and I, we have the freedom to have the divine nature. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 4 says, "Whereby are we given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature. Having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust," we've been given the divine nature of God. You have escaped corruption, and God has given you the divine nature, which is his Holy Spirit living inside of you. The Holy Spirit is the divine nature of God living inside you. The divine nature is the holiness of God. The holiness of God is the basis of your freedom in God. And you are free to be holy unto God. You are free to reflect him. You are free to be his omega dai, to be in the full image of God. That is what the church is supposed to be. We're supposed to be in the image of Christ, the exact representation of Christ to a lost world. When the world looks at the church, they should see what Jesus looks like. They should see how Jesus would behave in circumstances. Only through the Holy Spirit can we obtain perfection, which is living in the Spirit and possessing the mind of Christ. Just think, if you're living in the Spirit and you're possessing the mind of Christ, spiritual perfection then is living in the fruit of the Spirit. It is the image of Jesus, which is the image that should be in the church today. You and I possessing the divine nature, you and I possessing the Holy Spirit, you and I possessing the mind of Christ, you and I possessing these things should be the most free people in all the earth. There are three levels of perfection, the mature believer living in the Spirit. The first position is called positional perfection. What is it? It's Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14. It's based on the faith that Jesus, on what Jesus has done on the cross and our acceptance of what he has done through salvation. Number two, we have what I call relative perfection. This is spiritual maturity. This is growing up and learning and growing in your faith, transforming your mind, that you begin to reflect the full mind of God. You're maturing, and as you mature, you reflect the perfection that comes through your maturity. Number three is ultimate perfection. It is perfection in spirit, soul, and body. It's that point in which you now walk in holiness with God. And now the full image of God is manifested in you. See, and you've been given the ability by the Holy Spirit, because of the fruit of the Spirit, to be able to achieve that in this life. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17, 18. This is what it says. It says, "Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit is, there is liberty." Where the Spirit is, so in you, where the Spirit is freedom. If the Spirit is living in you, then by definition, you are free. Yeah. You're free. You're not a slave to sin. You're not a slave to the passions of life. You're not a slave to circumstances. You're able to make decisions. You're able to be what Frankl observed. You're able to choose how you would respond to any circumstance in your life. You're able to choose how you respond. You don't just react. You choose how you respond because you have the power of the Spirit of God in you. Your spiritual freedom is based on how much of the fruit of the Spirit you have in full operation in your life at any given time. It's based on how mature you are and how able you're able to manage the nature of God that is in you. This is what having the Holy Spirit means. This is critical, really, for today's church, because the world is looking for God. The world is looking for God. They're looking in bad other places. They're looking in fame and fortune and money, and they're looking in careers. They're looking in sex and all these other things, all these other gods. They're looking in, trying to find that which is perfect, trying to find God. People are looking for God. Really, what they're looking for? They're looking for the divine. They're looking to see people who look like Jesus that represent him well. And that's where you and I come in. You and I come in because if we are walking in the fruit of the Spirit, if we're walking by the Spirit, if we're walking in holiness, if we're walking in faith, if we're walking in obedience, if we're walking in love, if we're walking in joy, if we're walking in peace, if we're walking in all these things, if we're walking in the perfection of the divine nature, what will they see? But they will see Jesus. They will see the experience of God in your life. Verse 18 says this. Says that, but we all with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, and being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. You know, we are a reflection of him. When we walk in the Spirit of God, we are to be a reflection of Christ. We reflect him. That's what we've been called to do. We are called to reflect the glory of the Lord, reflect the power of God, reflect the Spirit of God, reflect the image of God to a world that doesn't see him except if they see him through us. The fruit of the Spirit is the nature of God that allows us to be free, really. To walk in complete holiness, you must live in the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 22, 26 says this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, is joy, is peace, is long-suffering, is gentleness, is goodness, is faith, is meekness, is temperance. Against such they said there is no law. In such there is no law. There's no law to total freedom. If you walk in the fruit of the Spirit, there is no law. You're above the law. You've passed that. You're in total freedom because the law is inside of you. Verse 24 says this, and they that are Christ, again, what? Have crucified the flesh with affections and lusts. Again, there's that notion of dying to self, dying to sin. And if we live in the Spirit, we will also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, or envying one another. We're free, we're set free. Total freedom in God is limited, really, by the amount and the quality of the Holy Spirit that you allow to live fully in your life. So if we're not free, it's because we have not allowed the Holy Spirit to live fully in our lives. This applies to every person in this building. According to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18-20, you have been saved and you've been given a ministry. Everybody's called to the ministry. Everybody who is saved is called to the ministry and have been given a position in God.
You have been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio. Our service times are Saturday evenings at 5 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church, Sydney. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul taken from 2 Corinthians 13:11. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Have a blessed week.